Yesterday, a community was coming together. Parents, siblings, and friends were arriving in Kansas City for the Passover holiday. But just as that community was gathering to celebrate, shots erupted in Overland Park, taking three lives. I'm Gina Kaufman. Welcome to Central Standard. Today we're going to take time to focus on how these events have impacted not just the Jewish community of Kansas City, but our wider community as well, and how we can heal in the midst of tragedy. Later in the hour, we'll look at the history of race in Kansas schools. How did that history set the stage for Brown versus Board of Education, which clearly established that separate but equal was inherently unequal? That's coming up right after this news. How did you find out about yesterday's shootings at the Jewish Community Center in Village Shalom? Maybe you saw something in your Facebook feed. Maybe you were dropping your kids off when someone urged you to turn back and go home. For most of Kansas City, and particularly for Kansas City's Jewish community, the unsettling news of targeted violence is still sinking in. I'm Gina Kaufman. Welcome to Central Standard. This morning, we're going to attempt to build the beginnings of a foundation for understanding what has happened. Joining us for this conversation are two community leaders. I'd like to first welcome Rabbi Arthur Nemetoff of Congregation B'nai Yehuda, located just down the street from Village Shalom and the Jewish Community Center. Good morning, Rabbi Nemetoff. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, Gina. Thank you for having us on the air.
I'm sorry, of course, about the circumstances that bring us all together. And in the interest of full disclosure, Rabbi Nemetoff officiated my wedding, so we do know each other outside the studio. Also here with us today is Reverend Gar Demo of St. Thomas the Apostle Church, where a vigil last night united many faith communities throughout the greater metropolitan area. Good morning, Reverend.
Good morning, Gina. It's glad to be here with you today, and thank you for this opportunity.
So first, Reverend, what inspired you to host a vigil, and why is it important for other faith communities to join in support?
I think it's critical at a moment like this for us to begin gathering as a community, if anything, to find our solidarity with each other. All of us are neighbors. We all know the Jewish Community Center. It's a place that not only Jews go, but also Christians and many others in the community participate in all the activities they have there. And in the midst of such a horrific event and such evil, it's important for us to gather and just to be in community and to have a time together where there's peace and to share.
What did you witness at last night's vigil? What were people seeking when they came together?
I think seeking some ground, some firmness or some place to stand. We had people calling from all over the community, other pastors or the rabbis, the lieutenant governor came, people wanting to gather and to just simply be there with their friends and with their community.
Rabbi Nemetoff, how did you personally experience yesterday's events? I mean, given your proximity, both physical and emotional, and what kinds of thoughts crossed your mind?
I was shopping at Costco for last-minute Passover items, and as I was shopping, one of my congregants ran up to me and asked if I knew if her daughter was safe. I asked what she was talking about, and that's how I found out what was happening. I immediately called a member of the Overland Park Police who we have relationships with, and I asked what he could tell me, and that's when I found out what had happened. I was shocked. I was dismayed. But more importantly, I was so concerned for everybody at Village Shalom, everybody at the JCC. At that point, we didn't know that there had been three victims.
You're a rabbi, so I guess what I want to know from you first is there such a thing as a Jewish response to something like this from a spiritual perspective?
That's a great question, Gina. I'm not sure if there's ever an adequate response to evil in the world. I believe that what we learn from these tragedies is not about hate, but about the support that good people can give others. As we just heard, there has been an outpouring of support from people we know and strangers alike from all over the world who have asked what they could do to help the community and to help the victims' families.
Is there any kind of a response that you would discourage?
Yes, there is. I would discourage attacking other human beings. While the act itself is despicable, while I don't support white supremacists or neo-Nazis, I do live in this country and I support everyone's right to say what they want to say as long as it does not harm another human being. I think the best response is vigilance. The best response is compassion. And quite honestly, the best response is openness. Because unless we stay open, unless we stay involved in the community, then those who wish us ill will have won.
Well, I know, of course, this evening is the beginning of the Passover observance, and not everyone might, not all of our listeners necessarily know what that means. So maybe if you could explain that and also explain in what sense the coping experience will relate to the gathering that happens for Passover.
Passover is the celebration of the children of Israel's liberation from slavery in Egypt. It is the story of the book of Exodus in the Bible. Moses frees the Israelite people. God does the freeing through Moses' hand. And the children leave. And as a result of that, we are commanded to remember that moment when we were slaves and how we emerge into freedom. Perhaps the biggest lesson that we can connect with the tragedy from yesterday is that during the Seder experience, during the service, during the meal, we take 10 drops of wine and we drop them out of our cups as we list the 10 plagues that are listed in the Bible that were perpetrated upon the Egyptian people. Finally, at the end of the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn, Pharaoh allows us to leave. But as we recite those 10 plagues, we drop wine from our cups. And the question that is asked is why? The answer is that even in our salvation, we express mourning for the fact that others had to suffer in order for us to be free. Tonight, we need to drop another drop of wine from our cups to remember this tragedy. And also to remember that there were those who died for no other reason than they were comfortable within the Jewish community, that they were willing to be friends and comrades with us in the community.
Yeah, of course, two of the people who died at the Jewish community center during these shootings were not Jewish. They just happened to be there.
I believe that all three victims were not Jewish.
Wow. Well, something that you said also caught my attention. You said, we were freed. And of course, this was a long time ago. The language used there is part of a larger ethical topic within Judaism. And something that I was thinking about as I was reading on my Facebook feed, many people within the Jewish community whom I know, letting everyone know that they were safe and feeling a moment of relief followed by a moment of, but it is still someone. Could you talk a little bit about the ethical complexity of being relieved that someone you know is safe and yet struggling with the idea that this had to happen to someone, anyone, someone who is a friend, a relative of others?
In the Haggadah, the book that we read tonight during the Seder service, the key statement is, in every generation, each of us should feel as though we ourselves left Egyptian slavery. We as Jews are commanded to feel empathy and identification with those who struggle wherever they are. And just as we celebrate our own freedom, we also experience a bit of pain, for we know that there are others who are not yet free. And so yesterday, as people asked, are you okay? My response is, yes, we are, but we are not. We as individuals are, but we as a community are deeply pained. And as long as one in our community is harmed, all of us are harmed.
Reverend Demo, you are someone who was inspired to establish a vigil. What inspired you to do that, either personally or through your own spirituality, your own ethics?
earlier in the morning, Christians begin their walk through Holy Week if they happen to practice that particular tradition. And our service in the morning was one based on the Passion of Christ, which is an act of love. And the question that you ask him, which was, you know, what's the movement? Why would you do something? Or what's the response? For me as a Christian, first it starts with prayer, and then I move to action. And sometimes simply gathering or being, if you want to call it inspired, or wanting simply to offer a place of love in this moment of incredible tragedy and incredible evil and incredible difficulty for all of us in the community.
Well, at last night's vigil, I hear that a member of a victim's family spoke, and I'm wondering if you can share with us what the message there was.
Mindy spoke last night. She is the mother of Reet and the daughter of William, two of the people who were killed at the Jewish Community Center. She came and spoke last night and talk about a moment of bravery, of strength. I can't imagine as a parent being able to say or to go through anything like what she's going through. She shared with us a little bit about her son, Reet, and his activities in drama and choir and what a joy he was in the community he was a part of, and also shared a little bit about her father. I think the thing that struck me the most was what she called us to was to have life. She kept saying that again and again, was to go out and to have our life and to know that they're alive in God, but to live our life and to not let this evil act limit us. And as the rabbi said, to allow the freedom that we might have to expand beyond with each other.
What is your perspective sort of generally on how communities heal from communal suffering?
I think with time, I think with acts of kindness, with acts of love, with talking, having an opportunity like this to share in whatever way, and the many community offerings that will happen. There'll be celebrations of life, I know, at the Church of the Resurrection and other communities, and there'll be, Rabbi's going to talk about in a few minutes, another gathering later in the week.
Rabbi, why don't you go ahead and share that information?
We are so grateful for the event that happened last night. We want to have an opportunity for the larger community to be able to participate. And so we are gathering together as a community for a communal service of unity and hope on Thursday morning at 10 a.m. at the Jewish Community Center. All people of good faith and goodwill are invited to join us. Reverend Adam Hamilton from Church of the Resurrection will be with us. Two of his parishioners were those who died. Reverend Bob Hill will be there. Reverend Glenn Miles, I believe my colleague, will be there. Many of the rabbis in town will be there, and we hope that any of our listeners will join us as well at the Jewish Community Center at 10 a.m. on Thursday morning.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Central Standard on KCUR 89.3 FM, streaming live at kcur.org. I'm Gina Kaufman, and I'm here with Rabbi Arthur Nemetoff, and Reverend Gar Demo, reflecting on the shootings yesterday at Village Shalom and the Jewish Community Center. Rabbi, you were just mentioning that there is a service at the Jewish Community Center. There might be a natural response among some people to be afraid to go there. Was this a deliberate decision to have the event at this location? And if so, what does that symbolize to you?
It was deliberate that we would hold it at the Jewish Community Center. It is seen as a form of rededication, of commitment to the essential message of the JCC. It is one of community, one of life, one of hope, and we want everyone to feel safe there. We know that the police have been fabulous about helping the community and helping the victims' families, and they will be present as well on Thursday morning, making sure that everyone is there and is safe.
Have you been at other congregations where you've witnessed this kind of violent expression of anti-Semitism before, or are you familiar with congregations who have endured something like that? How does the response get away from fear?
I have been involved in congregations that have had similar experiences. The way we get away from fear is, as we heard earlier, is by living life, by recommitting to life. In Jewish tradition, there are two practices that are so telling. When one dies, one says a prayer called Kaddish. The Kaddish prayer does not speak about death. It speaks about life and affirms life. The second act is that once you bury someone and you return to this from the cemetery, the very first act you do is to eat some food as a recommitment to the essential goodness of life. And that is what we as a community have to do. We have to live life as though it was the life lived by the victims and live for them, through them, and with them, and in spite of what was done to them.
Reverend Demo, what sort of insight do you have on this issue also of staying, of, I guess, transcending fear on some level in the wake of something very scary?
I think if we think about even the greater area, we have shootings happening on our highways, and we still don't really know what's happening there. We can't let these acts of violence capture us. We can't let these people create fear in us and limit our freedoms. The opposite is what we need to do, and that is to be called to action. A friend of mine says, you know, the best way to defeat darkness or to defeat evil is to have light, whether it be the light of one candle or the light of many candles. And so I think in our community, it is for us to be bold. I think we should not be fearful. We should all show up for this service. We should all continue to support the Jewish Community Center. And that's how we overcome this darkness that's entered a really wonderful community and a place where people share. And, you know, I think of Sunday that all these children were there, all these teens, all these people were just there doing what they do every week. And we have to continue that. And so I think being symbols of light in the midst of that. And I think that's what Mindy was encouraging us to be doing with everything. And I really feel her call more than any call I could offer.
Rabbi Nemitov, something Reverend Demo just said, he referred to another shooting incident. And something that I have noticed among people responding to what happened yesterday was taking a great deal of care to say this shooting is horrific, as are all shootings. And a lot of care being taken to not establish some kind of sense of exceptionalism. And I wonder what you think about that kind of dialogue, about how we view this in the context of a world where terrible things happen to all kinds of communities all the time, and how do you negotiate those sorts of things, especially in an instance of targeted violence?
Yesterday's shooting was not exceptional. We just heard about a shooting in Fort Hood. We knew about shootings in Colorado. We know about bombings all over the world. A friend of mine who is a survivor of a bomb attack in Israel emailed me and said, "Welcome to our family." We are all victims. And we live in a world that unfortunately is filled with evil acts. Those of us who believe in God and those of us who believe in humanity, we need to not allow that evil in the world to win. And so we must look at each act both as a unique act of violence that stands alone, but also as a pattern. And our job is to end that pattern. If I could, Gina, one of the things I keep going back to is that wonderful statement by Pastor Martin Niemöller, who was a Christian theologian during the Holocaust. He said that when they first came for the socialists, I didn't speak up because I wasn't a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. And then they came for me. And by then, there was no one left to speak for me. We live in a world where we need to be both positive towards life, but also vigilant, and always be willing to speak up for those who have been harmed. That is our job.
Reverend Demo, reflections on what the rabbi has just said?
I think in addition to that, it's for us to find our commonality with each other. I like Carl Sagan as a hero of mine, and I remember him saying something about if you take a far enough distance from the earth, the differences between us are so small, and yet we find them and we just expand on them as much as we can. I think the rabbi and I go through much of the same things that we would go through with any congregation. We share a slightly different faith, and yet at the same time, we have much more in common. And I think if I were to suggest anything, it is to get to know people of other faiths. There are Jews, there are Christians, there are Sikhs, there are Muslims, there are all kinds of people in our community, and we need to know them and to be with them. And, you know, this evil that happened, the person was seeking to cause hurt, harm, and death to Jews. It ended up not necessarily being a Jewish person that was harmed, and yet we get a glimpse, just for a moment. There's never security at my church when we gather. We don't need police officers. And I know when I've been to gatherings in Jewish congregations, often they have security because it's needed. Later in the week, Good Friday is going to be celebrated. This is often a day in history in which Christians felt empowered to harm Jews. It's a stain in our history, and it's something we don't like to talk about. I'm cognizant of that. Every Good Friday that I gather, a few years ago, we had a Jewish community meeting in our church, and they gathered for Passover Seder on Good Friday. It's not their Good Friday. We gathered for our worship, worshiping in the same building in different rooms. And there was something in that moment in which we were invited as our community to then come and finish the Seder with them that I thought we overcame just for a moment all the difficulties throughout history in which violence has been enacted in the name of religion.
Rabbi Nemitov, getting back to that Passover Seder, logistically speaking, this is an event that has, you know, people coming in from out of town. Do you think that this is its own opportunity for healing? As the Reverend just said, it's often the case that non-Jews attend Seders with Jewish families, for example.
I think it's definitely an opportunity. Just as 800 people showed up last night for this memorial service and this service of unity, so too I believe that people will gather at their Seder tables tonight. And they will tell the story. We have placed on our congregation's Facebook page a supplement to read at Seders that talks about this tragedy and what lessons we can learn. It actually includes the Martin Niemöller quote. And we hope that people will talk and learn and come away feeling filled with hope.
I'd like to thank Rabbi Arthur Nemitov and Reverend Gar Demo for being here today to talk with us about the beginnings of healing from yesterday's shootings. Thank you so much for being here, and again, sorry about the circumstances.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll return to talk about the history of race in Kansas schools leading up to Brown versus Board of Education, which emerged from Topeka. We'll discuss that after the break. Central Standard. We'll be right back.